Good evening, good morning, good day, good night, or good weekend, whatever it fits for you. I'm back with Document TV International after a 1 week stop due to my own travels to the Norwegian mountains and our very friendly and excellent guest, Mr. Charles Ortel, has sort of migrated from New York. I know that you passed through the Middle East, you dipped down in Southeastern Europe, and now you're somewhere in Southeastern Asia. How is that for a New Yorker?
Well, thank you so much, Gar, for having me back on. I've done a lot of traveling in my life, but I have to say, since 2012, not so much outside of Europe and the US. And I'm just frankly amazed. The Irish have the phrase gobsmacked by the modernity and the fantastic infrastructure through the various countries I've been traveling. I mean, it's far better than New York City, all three airports, especially Kennedy and Newark. It's just night and day. We're back. I don't even think New York City's infrastructure system is fourth world. I think it's about sixth world compared to the swiftness, the fair pricing, the lack of onerous red tape and grumpy government officials. I mean, it's just really been so far fantastic. I highly recommend it.
Well, maybe we should head somewhere else in New York this coming year then, even though I really want to visit you too. Anyway, it's 2 weeks since we were on last time, and then we were still talking about the midterm elections. Now, has the last vote been counted yet?
We're very close. The Republicans appear to have a slim majority in the House. But bear in mind, the mainstream press is spinning that as a defeat, when in fact, the Democrats governed as if they had a clear mandate in the House under Nancy Pelosi as Speaker for 2 years, when they had a comparably slim majority and they abused the minority. So certainly the results at the House and in the Senate were not as strong as some, including me, expected them to be. And now we're in a zone. Initially, people couldn't question election results. But now the Democrats have put forward a certifiable idiot, another one, Hakeem Jeffries, as the potential minority leader in the House. And here's a guy who to this day has not accepted November 2016 election. And this is a person who will head the minority in the House. And he has been on the record not only saying that Donald Trump stole the election, but gone further than that to say because he stole it, the Supreme Court justices that were installed are illegitimate. And because they now have a solid majority, conservative majority in the Supreme Court, that body is illegitimate. He gets to say all that. He's been saying this ever since November 2016. And dare I remind people that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Terry McAuliffe and others have written books that George W. Bush stole the 2000 election. And they don't get kicked off of Twitter for saying that then or now. So I think there are a lot of questions about these recent elections. And in particular, it's shocking to me as an American living in a country where, in theory, we have technological giants who invent all these great new ways of doing things. How can it be that a country like France, and I love France, can use paper ballots and get them counted on the day of a complex election? Their system is far more complicated than ours. They can do that, and we can't have integral election results until weeks after the election. And shame on both parties, shame on the bureaucracy for leaving the United States in that place in 2022. It's outrageous.
Well, let me tell you that the Norwegian MSM has not mentioned with one word anything about Jeffries and his how he is in denial of things long gone. Maybe we need to do a bigger story on that. Hans, you're the chief editor. U.S. is your domain. Get on the Kim Jeffries story. Norwegians need to know. And so do you guys, wherever you watch. We need to know what's going on in the U.S. And that is why it's so great to have you on, Charles. Now, how do you perceive or how do you foresee how the Republicans are going to utilize their slim majority in the House? Will they finally be able to put an end to that bizarre 6th of January hearing?
One would hope so. I would caution people that the way in which the House works is that the Speaker must gain a majority of all the votes. And the very important Freedom Caucus does not necessarily support McCarthy and is not going to give him a free ride, which is leading the mainstream media to speculate that some of the rhinos may get together with moderate Democrats and maybe even left-leaning Democrats to elect McCarthy Speaker, but on a basis where he agrees to limit the scope of investigations and limit the funding of investigations. So a lot of dirty things can happen between now and whenever they swear the new Speaker in, which is typically right around the 2nd or 3rd of January in 2023. So we don't yet know what these people are going to do. McCarthy, in my mind, he's a career politician. He's more of a rhino than he is a conservative. And there are far too many rhinos still in power, especially including someone that people refer to as the turtle, Senator Mitch McConnell. And many of these people have suspicious ties through their families to deep-pocketed influence buyers. And frankly, we see it, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, they sell out too cheaply. So we may well be in for 2 years of a pitched battle in which nothing serious happens because the Democrats will slow walk everything. They won't cooperate to allow investigations to go forward. And we see the way Joe Biden is attempting to rule the country as a tin pot dictator. I mean, take, for example, the student loan stuff. That is preposterous that a sitting president would, by decree, just say, well, I look at this law over here, and I'm just going to give away hundreds of billions of dollars to one portion of the population with no congressional vote. So I would look for more mayhem. I would look for the Democrats to continue being stuck on economically stupid. And I don't count on McCarthy to be the kind of patriot we need in leadership in the House, and I certainly don't count on Mitch McConnell in the Senate.
What can one say? I mean, this is not good news at all. But let me ask about one more topic that has sort of fallen off the radar lately. Two things. First of all, the border issue. Has there been any changes in the migrants pouring in now over the southern border?
Not at all. I mean, they're streaming across the southern border. We have Senator Chuck Schumer, who has never found a dirty deal that he doesn't love, is floating the idea preposterously that because Americans are not Native Americans, not the people who were here before the Pilgrims, but people who are citizens, are not producing children fast enough. And in theory, the argument runs, there are a lot of vacant jobs that Americans won't fill. So why don't we just give a blanket amnesty now to the people who are already here and encourage others to come across our southern border? It's frankly treason. It is an abandonment of the national principle to say to a world that sadly has billions of poverty stricken people that, look, you know, forget about trying to make a go of it in your home country. America's got an open border, and we've got a legal system that's not going to do anything about you other than give you a better life when you get here. So just do whatever it takes to come across our southern border, and your life will be a lot better than it might be in across Africa or the Indian subcontinent or parts of the Middle East, even in Europe. and certainly in South and Central America. It is a gross dereliction of duty. And I would remind the audience that the person, our president, or I like to call him our resident, put in charge of this issue is Kamala Harris, who to this date has not yet visited the southern border. She's that competent.
Kjære seer, hvis alle 5000 seerne som ser på vipser 10 kroner, sikrer dere DokTV-budsjettet i en halv måned. Om alle 5000 seerne vipser 20 kroner, sikrer dere DokTV i en måned. Så lenge vi jobber sammen og alle bidrar, om så bare litt, så kommer vi en lang vei. Det hviler på oss, altså på deg og meg, å sørge for at sannheten kommer fram. Og at Document bevarer sin rolle som det medier egentlig skal være, en vaktbikkje. Uten dere så klarer ikke vi det. Og uten oss så sitter dere igjen med medier som løper myndighetenes ærend. Vips til 638941, 638941, fordi ditt bidrag gjør en enorm forskjell.
Oh my dear, oh dear, oh dear. I'm godsmacked too, actually. Now, one thing, pre-Christmas thing, your Thanksgiving is coming up. The holiday season has started, meaning Christmas and New Year, etc. But there are some bumps ahead, aren't there? I read a lot of bubbling stories about the looming railroad strike. What's the latest there?
We have this strange system in the U.S. where there are many different unions. This is the rail system is an ancient enterprise in our country that long predates the income tax. And so there are a whole bunch of legacy unions that represent different aspects of the industry. And true to form, as deadlines approach, a deal will be cut with one branch of the unions, but then the other branches will hold out for more. So at this moment, nobody really knows what's going to happen. But we've got Christmas approaching, and we've got other problems with our logistics system. You can thank not simply Pete Buttigieg, who is a certifiable moron. He's our transportation secretary. These are problems that have been long in the making. But they're coming together now in this crucial period where people are expecting to have holiday celebrations with gifts under whether they're trees or menorahs or who knows what. They're expected to be holiday celebrations, and these may, as Thanksgiving was actually Thursday. Many people, reporting goes, just decided to skip it, which is, you know, heretical in this country to not celebrate Thanksgiving because the cost of food and transportation and other things has soared so high under Joe Biden.
Well, I can tell you that there's no looming railroad strike in Norway, but our leader, or our prime minister, rather, head of the coalition government from the Labour Party, Mr. Jonas Gahr Støre, is sinking like a brick in the opinion polls. And now, lately, even staunch Labour Party supporters from the labour unions or from the Federation of Labour Unions have dared to criticize him and his government. Because people, believe it or not, Norway being one of the richest countries in the world, been made even more rich by the crisis in Eastern Europe, Russia, Ukraine. The Norwegian gas has been sold at exorbitant prices at the European market. European Union is trying to make a price cap on gas. I don't think they will succeed. They have more than enough problems with the migrants too. But back to Norway, the Prime Minister yesterday, I think, visited a Salvation Army center and tried to express his empathy with people who have fallen through our safety nets. because Norway has always prided itself on being a welfare state which takes care of everyone. Not so anymore.
Yeah, now, it's truly... Yeah, it's truly sorry to see this, especially at this time of year when in Norway, I actually have been there only once in the winter, and it does indeed get kind of cold in Norway. Unfortunately, you're energy rich, but it's a big country, much bigger than most Americans know, and there are lots of people living in rural communities who may or may not be able to get heat and electricity and other energy they need, and it's especially hard on older people and sick young people. So this is, to me, the situation across Europe right now with regard to energy is testament to the fact that most European government bureaucracies are economically illiterate. They haven't a clue how to nurture prosperity for their people, and they've evolved to become, in most of these countries, avenues for the politically connected to feather their own pockets, feather their own nests, get sinecures around the world, and virtue signal for the rest of their lives as they write books. Sad.
Very sad indeed. And in Norway, more so than the rest of Europe, unfortunately, our bureaucracy is way too large, and a lot of yuppies, our young professionals, have found a cushioned workplace in the government. And of course, they're not about to change the policies. They don't, they're economically illiterate too.
Amazing.
Now, this was a sidestep. Let's go back to your channel, which we've been telling people about every time we've had you on, Charles. And this last week, your companion, in fact, you and your companions, CrowdForce the Truth, has hit the news in the U.S. Walk us through this one.
Sure. We had the idea really beginning in March of 2020, and it was Jason Goodman's idea. He's really, CrowdForce the Truth is really his baby. I'm just a guest and a co-anchor. But he had the idea to push us out of the studio where we had done quite a few hundreds of videos and get us out into the street. And so we did a bunch of that just as the pandemic hit. And then by January 6th, before January 6th, we said, we've got to be down in Washington, D.C. And Jason shot 5 hours of video. That day, I was there with him through all 5 hours. And I can tell you, for us, it was really, really cold that day. It was very, very cold. We had to start the production before shooting 5 hours. We were everywhere. And with the news story you're talking about is that one of our many viewers noticed this person, Ray Epps, who has never really had to explain what the heck he was doing in Washington, D.C., and whether or not he was an agent or a contractor for the FBI and trying to turn January 6th into a reality play that would paint President Trump and the Trump administration in a bad light. And so this is, there's a story in Gateway Pundit. There's several other links to the short segment of the 5 hour video, as well as a link to the whole 5 hour video. And I could just tell you, as somebody who was there for the entire video, the interactions that I witnessed personally between people who were there and you know, the government and anybody who completely guards that may have been there was 100% peaceful. These were friends, these were families pouring in from around the country who were concerned about the state of the election. They had real questions, valid questions, it would seem in hindsight. And yes, there were some thugs who entered into the Capitol building. There's a lot to study, and I hope the new Congress will do that. I hope they'll go over this video and answer the question, why did Nancy Pelosi turn down Donald Trump's suggestion to provide the National Guard to protect the Capitol? Why did people inside the Capitol let these protesters inside? how many FBI agents or contractors were in the crowd, either watching events unfold or perhaps instigating events unfolding? These are serious questions that need to be asked and answered.
Well, let us show a short clip of that video Jason took on January 6th. Of course, we'll include the link to the entire video in our article, in the text accompanying this recording, this program. But let's watch for a few seconds.
The message of Jesus came.
And this is on the outskirts.
So what's your message today?
My message is say no to Antifa. That's my personal message. I'm tired of Antifa destroying cities, wonderful, beautiful cities in this country, like Philadelphia, Seattle, Portland. These cities are run by liberal leftist mayors that basically...
Now, Charles, this Ray Epps has not been prosecuted to this day, has he?
Well, he hasn't, and I'd even take a step backwards, and I'd say that the manner in which the January 6th committee was organized, in which the minority, that is to say the Republicans, and Liz Cheney is certainly technically a Republican, but has left the party long ago, and thankfully will be out of power soon, and Adam Kinzinger, another Republican, is also leaving and is certainly not a true Republican anymore. So Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats ran roughshod over the rules of the House and the tradition in the House that any serious investigation would have real authority to select the members that the minority wanted to have on the commission. That didn't happen. The manner in which people were rounded up, it's not one or two, it's hundreds of people were rounded up, many of whom were put in prison without
and
the ability to get out of
prison. Stay.
And they stay there to this day. Some of these people are sick. Some of these people's health conditions got worse because of it. As Barack Obama used to say when he was president, these are not American values to round people up, political enemies of the regime, and throw them away, throw away the lock and the key, and put them in a place which is reminiscent, frankly, of what the King of England did that inspired the American Revolution. I mean, it's a gross abuse of the Constitution, in my view. And you're absolutely right. On the one hand, there are hundreds of people awaiting sentencing, burning up money, trying to defend themselves. And this Ray Epps, who is very controversial, who was on camera the day before January 6th on the 5th, exhorting people to go to the Capitol and get busy and really trying to stir things up. Nobody has called Ray Epps to testify. And by the way, the testimony that's been taken by the committee is outrageous. It's not testimony where you have defense counsel present or legal counsel present. It truly is. I'm no lawyer, but my understanding of the law suggests this is far, far worse than the third world dictatorship approach to political differences. And we have to say in hindsight that there remain serious questions about what happened in 2020 during the election. Most notably, in the mainstream press, they're finally getting around to this idea that the Hunter Biden laptop is indeed authentic. And there have been polls conducted by the mainstream press that suggested that if the electorate knew the Biden laptop was authentic, Joe Biden would have lost a significant percentage of his vote, 5-9% of his vote, and he likely would have lost the election. So what really happened with the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop information? That's a story and questions for another day.
I seem to remember from my younger days when I happened to, and I studied in Texas too, didn't you have something called a shotgun trial? Shotgun wedding, yeah. But you had kangaroo court. That was maybe the expression I was thinking about. But okay, so we're still forced to have the last spasms of the kangaroo shotgun hearing of the United States Democratic majority, aren't we?
Well, I think when we, I'm an amateur student of American history and English history, and it really was a major development in the American Revolution and the Constitution to establish the principle that everybody, Democrat, Republican, non-aligned, is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law to the appropriate standard. In criminal cases, it's beyond a reasonable doubt, which is a tough standard. In civil cases, it's by a preponderance of evidence. But there's no concept in America, as the Obama administration and the Biden administration and others have tried to expand upon, that it's up to a citizen to exonerate him or herself. That is just not a concept in American law. You are innocent. And if the government cannot prove your guilt, it's not the citizen's responsibility to establish his or her innocence. It's the government's duty to prove to the standard that you're guilty. And if you're not proven guilty, you remain innocent. And so that's why I'm frankly astounded that professors of law are allowing this travesty to continue.
So are we, Charles. People, this information that mainly comes from Charles is invaluable information that you won't find in the MSM, in the mainstream media. Nowhere in the world, I fear. That's why we would like you to share this program. And if you have a chance to donate $1 million or $10 or beer worth in your country to our PayPal account, will be greatly appreciated. It will help me get over and visit Charles, maybe do a double with him in face to face, maybe in Southeast Asia or in New York. Who knows? We need your support. Thank you for following us. And Charles, as always, it's been great having you here, and I wish you a very pleasant weekend wherever you are and wherever you will travel. I'll try to get you next Friday too.